Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Shop in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score tonight. Coming up on the programme, motorsport-wise, we'll be speaking with Clark of the Course, Brian Gibbons, ahead of this weekend's Danny Gormley Knockalla Hill claim. Soccer-wise, Donegal League club Cranford United are celebrating their 50th anniversary. We'll be speaking to club members. Former Finn Harps captain Joe Boyle will join us for a weekly League of Ireland chat to look ahead to the games for Finn Harps in the First Division and Derry City in the FAI Cup this coming weekend. But first, it's with matters in Balbuffet we begin. Finn Harps chairman Ian Harkin is joining us on the programme. The club yesterday appointed Darren Murray as the new academy director, as it's another change at the club and another change to the structure ahead of the proposed takeover. We'll get an update on that as well. So, Ian, welcome along to the programme this evening. How are you doing?
Thanks very much, Arshin.
Well, I suppose, Ian, we're going to talk about a few different aspects of things, what's going on at the club at the moment. But first of all, the appointment yesterday of Darren Murray as the club's academy director. When you see his credentials, a very experienced coach, almost two decades of coaching. He has his UEFA pro license. He's been involved at international level at underage. And he's also worked as a head coach at a regional development centre further south for a number of years as well. So a very, very experienced man. I'm sure you guys, when you read that and you have him now at the club, you are very, very happy with the appointment, satisfied with it.
Yeah, look, Darren's an amazing appointment for us. We're very lucky to get him. It's the process itself was quite elaborate because it's funded by Sport Ireland. The initial filtration process for the applications all had to be done through the FAI. They all had to be approved by them. So that process in itself gives you great confidence in everyone that was interviewed for the head of academy role. They had over 300 CVs that they filtered down to roughly around 30 or so candidates. And each of the League of Ireland clubs then had to select from that. If a number of clubs already had full-time head of academy. So we then selected the people that we wanted to interview. And for us, Darren was the standout candidate in that process. So, yeah, we're very, very happy with his appointment.
Obviously, you spoke to Darren about bringing the academy forward. What's going to happen now structurally in the academy and what's going to change from where it sat previously under Kevin McHugh?
Yeah, so like prior to Kevin taking on that role, Michael Grant was the initial academy director and John Campbell and James Rogers were instrumental in setting up the academy, and in many ways we were well ahead of many other League of Ireland clubs. Kevin then brought it on to a new level altogether and put in a huge shift over the last 9 years driving our academy forward and putting in place really established processes within our club, and it needed that type of dedication and that type of work ethic to get that done. And all credit to Kevin, we're seeing the fruits of that right now with so many players in our first team. So for Darren coming in, the academy is in a good place in terms of comparison to other clubs around the country. We've got a lot of processes in place. We've a lot of really, really good people. Ashleen there in the office has been in a huge shift over the last number of years as well in terms of building that connection between the club and parents and academy graduates themselves. So we're in a good place. There's a lot of work that has yet to be done and to really bring on football in the county itself. So one of Darren's key tasks is working with junior clubs right throughout the county and how we can help them improve what you know the level of coaching, not just within our club, but right throughout the county itself. So we're going to be reaching out to them. And then just looking at the contact hours that we have with players. So we have to massively increase that. The FAI have did an audit last year, which gives us a template to work from in terms of what areas we need to work on, what the number of contact hours, the facilities that we need to deliver. And part of that actually heavily influenced what we did with our planning permission for our stadium. So we built a lot of our Centre of Excellence requirements into the stadium itself. As you can see within the planning permission, there's rooms for gyms, extra changing rooms, for meeting rooms, for offices and educational rooms. So all of that has been built into the planning over the last number of years, and additional funding was sought for that as well. So we're in a good place. Hopefully we're able to deliver a lot of that over the next couple of months and years ahead. A big part of it as well is looking to acquire additional lands. So we put out a call a couple of months ago now, and a number of people have reached out. So we're going to be following up there. If there are other people as well out there that know of lands that are available, we are looking for up to 50 acres, which is quite a challenge to get all in a single parcel of land. Ideally, it's flat and the and near within 10 to 15 kilometers of Balbuffet. So that's our target. But yeah, there are a number of people have reached out, and we're going to be progressing those conversations in the next coming months.
Yeah. Well, as it expected in the coming months as well, obviously you're looking to develop the academy, grow it. You've put parts into the structure like the land and the stadium. But as from Darren's point of view, Darren obviously has to have extra and additional people around him. At what stage is he going to start to build that academy team of coaches and people that are assisting him?
Yeah, so as I said, we've got a really good base of academy coaches within the club already. There is an additional full-time role being funded by Sport Ireland. So those interviews are ongoing. We would hope to have that person in place by the end of the year as well. So all credit to Charlie McConnell Ogue and his colleagues in Sport Ireland and the department for backing football in Ireland, not just with infrastructure but also with people. So in the coming months there'll be massive changes within the academy. It goes towards a full-time structure, and it's a key part of what Freddie is actually investing in as well. To make our business sustainable, we have to be able to develop and grow our own talent in Donegal. That in itself becomes the business model, where we can develop, sell, reinvest into our club.
Yeah. So where are we at the moment with Freddie Gonzalez and the takeover? Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, maybe a lot more work than you envisaged from the very start, Ian. There has been a hold-up on the vote. So where is it sitting at the moment?
Yeah, no, we're in a really good place. What people may not realise is that this process has been going on since the beginning of the year. It's extremely complicated in our club's side because we don't own our own pitch. So we currently play in lands owned by the trust, and we are looking to move to a new stadium that is owned by the council. So We have funding from multiple different sources as well. So every single one of those partners has to be contacted, communicated with, and updated. There's a number that we haven't yet. We've probably selected some of the ones that are a little bit more complicated. And we're going through all of those. So everybody that we have contacted with so far is fully supportive of it. And more importantly, it would appear that our shareholders and fans are extremely supportive of it. So we're just going through those last few due diligence points, and we are we'll be getting in touch with the last few partners in the coming days and weeks, and we then hope to have everything completed, vote the whole legal agreements all done by the end of the season. So that's the goal. So we're working back from there to make sure that all of the T's are crossed and I's dotted. So we're very close at the moment.
Okay, so you are confident then that this will be done and dusted come the middle of October?
Yeah.
Listen, in recent times as well, you of course appointed Patrick McIlhenny as interim manager, taking over from Kevin. Listen, Harps playing at the bottom of the table. It's been a tough old spell, so it has. But Patrick's still finding his feet there with a group that he knew very, very little about. But you can see improvements there. And how's he settling in at the moment with another home game to come this week?
Yeah, I came in, I went into training on the very first night that Patrick came in, and you can see Patrick's way of working with players. Like at the end of training, he'll have his arms around players, and we have a very young group of players that possibly need that, at this stage, because it's a very difficult position that we're in psychologically. The talent is there. There's no doubt about the talent that we have. We should be in a higher position than we currently are. The challenges of being a fan-owned club has direct impact into a lot of the results that we've had. It is challenging, but with the new investment that's coming in, there's a lot more of that stresses, I suppose, within the club that are being relaxed a bit, and the pressures are less at the moment. There is a key focus towards working towards next year, but I think it's really, really important that the fans and the public get out and support the team right now. There is a huge amount of talent within our club, and it's also really important as well to show Freddie that we are a county that really loves our sport, and that his investment is going to pay off. And we've seen Finn Park in nights when it's absolutely rocking, and we need to show that to Freddie that the demand is out there and the support is out there. I think in terms of Patrick, his work ethic is phenomenal. His interest and knowledge of the game is very, very impressive as well. So we've great faith in that he'll be able to bring us on and recruit as well. That's the big part of it, in the coming months. A big step has already been made in that we're moving towards full-time football. We're training in the mornings. We're building that environment around what full-time football will look like, so that when we are recruiting, that we can show players, look, this is the processes that we have in place. This is where we're training. This is your routine and how it'll look like. So that's very important to be able to show to players when you are recruiting at the end of the season, to show that, look, this is happening. This is where we're going. And these are the people that you'll be working with.
And just finally, Ian, the National League started last weekend. We've got three additional clubs now playing under the League of Ireland umbrella: Letterkenny Rovers, Coghill Celtic, and Bunnygee United. Add in yourselves, Arundhati City. Mm-hmm. Then you have the guys in the Irish League, the likes of Institute. You've got Derg View played intermediate level. Limavady, Strabane Athletic, all clubs like that, all in this northwest region. Now, we've been talking about the academy and the plans going forward, and obviously the hopes from next season going forward under a new ownership and improving. But there's a lot of teams now in the northwest. What's your feelings on the pick of pool of players, be it at underage, to trying to get them into academy and develop them, and then again with more mature players and trying to encourage them into your club, given the amount of football now that is available in the northwest?
Yeah, well, actually, there's multiple different ways you can look at it. I think personally, it's going to be great because the pool of players gets greater. You might think that there's more people fighting for individual players, but if you're able to raise the standards across football in general by having more competitive football at a higher level, then you're automatically going to be bringing in more late developers. You're going to be people who haven't gone through that orthodox way of going through academies. And if you look at the benefits of some of the clubs in Dublin is that they have extremely strong leagues domestically within Leinster and down in Cork as well. So they benefit from having that level below League of Ireland that they can filter players through. Like it's just natural that there will be people maybe that have played other sports or that are late developers that can come in and do a really good job at League of Ireland level. So I think, the competition is good. I think in some ways, some of the players maybe that don't make it, that have come through our academy that are able to get senior football and develop both physically and in terms of mentally, by competing week in, week out. It's really important that kids get game time as well. So I think it's a good thing. It's commercially it's going to be challenging, I would say, but hopefully rising tides lifts all boats. So yeah, I think it will be a good thing.
Okay, we wait to see. Listen, Ian, I will leave it there. Many thanks for joining us on the Score programme tonight. Good to catch up, and we'll talk to you real soon again. The very best.
Thank you.
Okay then, time for a commercial break here on the Score tonight. Join us for more after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score this evening. We're sticking with League of Ireland and Finn Harps. They're at home to Athlone Town tomorrow evening in the First Division. Patrick McElhinney's side still looking for their first win under the interim boss. Derry City are looking to progress to the last four in the FAI Cup on Sunday when they take on Dundalk at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. To look ahead to those games and indeed talk about the National League fixtures for the Donegal sides this weekend, I'm joined by former Finn Harps captain Joe Boyle. Joe, a very good evening. How's things?
Good evening, Oisin. How are you?
I'm very good, Joe. Very good. Listen, we'll look forward to the games for Harps and Derry in just a second, but we heard there before the break from Harps chairman Ian Harkin talking about the appointment of the new academy director at the Ballybuffet side, Darren Murray. Darren's a guy you know very, very well. It seems to be a very, very solid appointment by Harps, given his credentials and his experience that he has, Joe.
Yeah, when I went to work with the FAI as a development officer back in 2002, Darren was there with the FAI under Brian Kerr and then later with Paddy Bonner. So Darren comes with a wealth of experience where he would have worked on the ground in Tipperary in the Waterford area. And then Darren would have also worked quite a bit with Sue Rowan at the Women's Under-19 International Team. And then he would have worked with Vinnie Butler at the Under-15, Under-16 International Team. So Darren comes with a wealth of experience. And, in his later years then, or more recent years, Darren had gone in down the road of sports science and sports development as well, where you've been highly qualified in relation to that. So, you know, it's a really, really good appointment, a positive appointment for the club. And again, somebody who got a really good understanding of how young players need to be developed in both male and female side of the game, because he has that experience of working at the international level. So it's a really positive appointment for Harps. And I just want to wish Darren all the best.
Yeah, it seems to be a really, really good appointment for the club now going forward. But at senior level, Harps have had their struggles on the pitch this year, particularly in recent months. Patrick McIlhenny trying to implement his style and work with the group. Now, we did see flashes of it last week where things may be changing. They managed to score four goals, but at the same time, they conceded five. But listen, the side sitting bottom of the table and currently 8 points adrift of the side above them. From a Harps point of view, we're starting to see positives here, are we, Joe?
Yeah, look, it's been tough. You know, Patrick's been left with a really, really tough assignment. When you look at some of the players that he's lost, and, you know, I think it's come out this week that Shawnee Bradley is leaving, going to America. You know, he lost his two centre-halves. He lost Fanley and he lost Lamingo as well, and a couple other players had left. So he was down to the bare bones. But for me, I'll try and take the positive out of this. You know, when you lose five games and with some of the scorelines that they've been getting, it's been quite difficult. But you must look at the minutes that some of these young players will have under their belt for next year. And whoever's going to be manager, whoever's going to be in place next season, these young players will have come through the mill in relation to some tough, tough results. But you must look at the minutes that fellas that will be probably in around about 18, 19, 20 years of age will have under their belt and the experience that they have carrying into next season. And for me, last week's match against UCD was very, very positive to see how they kept plugging away, scoring four goals away from home. Look, it's disappointing to look at some of the goals they conceded, but we'll have to take the positive routes. And, you know, bringing it into this week's game against Athlone and Balbuffet, you'd be hoping that they could possibly put on some of that same attack and threat this weekend and get a much needed win for Patrick and for the players. And I think particularly for the players that they deserve it, because it has been tough, but they've not been found wanting. The scorelines, they've got a tough couple of weeks, but they've certainly not chucked it in, and they've certainly been giving their all for Patrick and for the club. And, you know, hopefully another week's training behind last week will give them a real positive boost going into the match on Friday night.
Yeah, we'll wait to see what Friday brings. Hopefully they can get that first 3 points under Patrick McIlhenny. The other games, by the way, in the first division, Bray Wanderers play Cork City. Cove Ramblers to go on UCD, which should be an interesting match. Treaty United are hosting Wexford. Two sides, of course, just like Harps, are that are in the bottom half of the table and the bottom placings as well, while Longford Town take on Kerry FC. We will have updates from that Harps game on Friday night. Jeremy Doherty will be and Ballybuffet watching Harps against Athlone. Kickoff is at 7:45. But from a Derry City point of view, Joe, Derry at home against Dundalk in the Cup. Listen, there's going to be no magic in the Premier Division for Derry this year. So this is the last remaining competition that there may be hope of getting some sort of silverware. But the fact that Derry are playing at home on Sunday against Dundalk, they'll be looking and they'll be sort of feeling that they can get, they'll be comfortable feeling there, a confident feeling rather, that they can get something out of this game on Sunday.
Yeah, and look at Derry have a new manager as well, for Mark Connolly has stepped in to take over from Tiernan over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, that UCD game in the Cup was a very, very important result for him. And Mark will be looking for the same result this week where they go into the match against Dundalk on Sunday to try and make sure that they get through that quarter final. And, you know, when you look at a quarter final, that's just one more big game after the quarter final away from a day in the Aviva Stadium. And that's going to be really, really important for Derry to get that result. And when you look at Dundalk over the last couple of weeks, they came through last week against Drogheda with a 3-2 result, and that was a ding-dong match in relation to the Louth derby. So, you know, it's going to be a difficult match for Derry this weekend, but it's a match that they could win. You know, when you look at Dundalk in the last round of the Cup, they came through quite easily against Castlebar, and then they came through as well against St Mochta's in the first round. So for Dundalk, it's a step up in the FAI Cup. But again, they've had some really positive results over the last couple of weeks, and they've had a couple of ones where it's gone against them, like Shamrock Rovers have beaten them and Galway beat them in Dundalk as well. So they've been good some weeks, and then there's been question marks the next week. So all Derry fans will be hoping that they manage to have a less than perfect week this week. I know they're sitting a couple of places above Derry in the league and 6 points ahead of Derry in the league, but this is the cup, and Derry are a strong pedigree in the cup. So Mark Connolly will be certainly hoping that his players will produce some of the form they had last week against Shamrock Rovers, where they managed to come away with a 3-3 draw. And you know, earlier in the evening when I was watching it last week, it was 3-1, and I thought, you know, Derry are in a really good position here. But you know, Shamrock Rovers being Shamrock Rovers, bounced back, and Derry need to make sure that this week against Dundalk that they don't offer them same chances to Dundalk. Otherwise, they could be out of the cup. And again, no silverware and no chance of European football. And I think that's something that Derry need to be, make sure that they're getting it by the end of the season, is that European place or that European football by the end of the season. And the cup is the only way at the minute that I see them getting a chance to get into Europe.
The other quarterfinals, Waterford play Sligo Rovers. Sligo currently bottom of the Premier Division table. I don't know if they're too interested in a cup run. There seems to be more pressing things in relation to the league at the moment. Drogheda United playing host to Galway United, both those games Friday. And on Saturday, a very intriguing tie, St Patrick's Athletic against Bohemians in an all-Dublin tie at Richmond Park at 4 o'clock. Joe, you mentioned Shamrock Rovers there. They're playing Shelburne at 8 o'clock on Friday evening in the league. Rovers out of the cup, Rovers out of Europe. They're going to focus now on the league. And if they win on Friday, they will go 8 points clear at the top of the table with the same amount of games played as second place St Patrick's Athletic, who are joint second, actually, with Bohemians. But that's in the top flight of the League of Ireland. In the new third tier in the Nation League last week, the three North West sides were all in action. Bunnygee drew their opening match, but Letterkenny Rovers lost on the road. Coghill Celtic lost on the road. This week, Bunnygee have a free. But listen, Joe, Letterkenny Rovers are at home to Mayo. Coghill Celtic are at home to Home Farm DCU, the side that drew with Bunnygee last week. But with them playing at home, Rovers and Coghill, they'll be looking for their first wins off the campaign to get their season up and running after the disappointment of last week.
Yeah, and again, it's, you know, this is going to be a new experience for the likes of Letterkenny and Bunnygee. Maybe not so much for Coghill, because they've had more extended runs in the FAI Cup games. But again, travelling away from home, and I know it's down to Galway, that's a new experience for the players. So it's key now this week that Letterkenny and Coghill push on and get a result at home. And Letterkenny will be playing Mayo, and I know from just watching things online there that Mayo have made some really interesting signings from players who have a good level of League of Ireland experience. So for Letterkenny, it'll be a tough game, but you know, it's a game that I do expect them to win. And when I flip over then to Coghill, you know, Coghill are a team that I do expect will lose very, very little points at home, because going down to Coghill is a difficult, difficult place, and I do expect them to get a result this week against Home Farm. You know, just talking to a few people that have been at the Bunnygee Home Farm game last week, you know, the Bunnygee would be a little bit disappointed because they'd played reasonably well, and you know, they were disappointed that it ended on a draw because they felt they had done enough to win that match. And again, I think Coghill got caught late on against Mayerview, so you know, we'll be hoping for positive results. And again, for Letterkenny, going down to Salt Hill Devon, where Greg Cunningham has come in at Salt Hill Devon, and I know he has signed very, very well, and Salt Hill have been building for this for a while, so they are pushing to do really, really well. So I'm not surprised that Letterkenny got knocked down to Salt Hill last week, but I do expect them to pick up 3 points at home this week to Mayo, and I really would be expecting Coghill to get the 3 points against Home Farm as well.
Yeah, so then we wait to see if both sides are going to take the full set of points. By the way, Jim O'Doherty will be at that Letterkenny Rovers game against Mayo, and we will have updates on Saturday Sport. That's it for tonight, Joe. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy the football at the weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Roshi.
Okay, looking at the junior action this weekend here in Donegal, there's two Brian McCormick Cup area semi-finals taking place on Friday evening. Letterbarrow Celtic up against St Catharines at 6:45, and at 7, Kilmacrenan Celtic are playing Cranford FC. We'll be hearing from the Cranford Club in just a moment. The other area semi-finals are all penciled in for Sunday afternoon, while there's matches also taking place in the Voodoo Venue Cup on Saturday in the Donegal League. And likewise in the National League, matches to come this weekend in the Clubman Church League Cup, the Charlie O'Donnell Cup, and in Division 2 and Division 3 of the league. Those matches all on Sunday. So Cranford FC are celebrating their 50th anniversary this coming Saturday. Among the festivities planned, there will of course be plenty of sports activities for young and old. Later, the celebrations continue with a barbecue from 7:30, and there's a bit of live entertainment as well. Highland's Chris Ashmore this week has been looking forward to a brilliant weekend with Philip Buchanan, chairman of Cranford FC, and club's assistant secretary, Kevin Logue.
Philip, just going to start with you. 1976, that's when it all began. So this weekend, it's a particularly big one. It's a milestone, and you've got some celebrations planned.
Chris, thanks very much for having us on, and really happy to say that, you know, our 50th year, and we have quite a day organised for Saturday. So we start off with some underage games down at the Cranford Park from 4 o'clock. We have an over 40s select, I would say, team of or teams of players that will join us then from 5:30, and we're moving then up to loads of Cranford. A barbecue at 7:30, and the main event, I guess you could say, kicking off at 8:30 in the evening.
So a big event to look forward to. Kevin, how did the club actually come about in Cranford in the mid-70s?
I suppose the club came about that time when there was no football in Cranford at the time. They weren't playing in the Donegal League, and there were football in Milford and Remelton and Fannin and all. So Tom Logue, he decided that he wanted to get a team together, and he approached a few of the local lads, and then he made contact with Father Michael Sweeney, and Father Michael was instrumental in getting us into the Donegal League in 76, so he played a big part in it. At that time too, we were developing the field from the year before as well, down in the park itself. We developed it into from a 7-a-side field to 11-a-side field.
So, and there'd been indoor football there a couple of years beforehand?
The indoor started the 2 years before in the community centre. We had built a big community centre down there. It was one of the first of its kind too as well, and we had a massive tournament there for a long number of years, and people came from all over to play in it, from Derry and from Strabane and Litcher, all around the whole county. Gidore was a big advocate for us as well too. They came over a lot too as well.
Cranford have been in a number of different divisions, but I suppose the glory years, would you call that, in the 90s, you had a particularly good spell?
We did, Chris. I would say that actually it didn't take that long to settle, because in 1977, Cranford actually won the third division. So it really got off to an excellent start from the first team. Really, really good team of players, and many of the names still involved in the club through the years, which were delighted and still part of the club. I suppose we moved around the kind of the Premier First Division then for quite a number of years. There was a spell when we actually amalgamated with Glenree in the very early 80s as well for a couple of years. There was a period between 1998 and 2000 under Eddie McGinley that was really successful for the club, where 1998 we won our first ever Bray McCormick, and we backed it up the following year with winning the Bray McCormick again, along with the Paddy McFadden the same year, and all those cups were won when we were in the first division, you know, playing against the real titans of the Premier League at the time, Duncan Ealy, who were, I think, around that period won four leagues in maybe 5 years, an excellent side there, and we would always come up against them either in the final or semi-final, but we seemed to have a read on them, you know. So Eddie was working some magic, I think, around that time, you know. And then in 2000, kind of at the end of that period, or that team, you could say, we won the first division and moved back to the Premier then after that.
And Kevin, I suppose it's a sign of the strength of the club and the community. There were periods that things weren't going so well on the field, and there were no doubt challenges, but the club is still here, and you got through those lean periods.
And we had a lot of very good local support as well too. Like, I mean, the local people stood by us all the time and came out through thick and thin, you know. And we had players too that travelled a lot first. You know, you don't like naming names, but the like of Bernard Galler up from Gart in there, and we had Seamus McFadden and DB. Them boys all stood by us all through the years, no matter when we were winning or losing. So, you know, it's a great thing for them to stand by us like that all the time.
And Philip, the current setup, apart from the men's, the senior team, the Donegal League team, what else have you got within the club?
Yeah, so up until 2 years ago, we ran the Sunday team and the Saturday team. We haven't got a Saturday team now for the last two seasons. We're kind of going through a bit of a rebuilding phase, I would say. We got promoted from the second division to the first last season, which is great. But also we have our first youth team in 30 years. We just completed the season. James McHugh and DB took on that. James came with the idea of it. There's a lot of young players, especially through the sort of Glenree Academy. And also through other teams in the area, but they're maybe not football for everyone. So this gave an opportunity, and we saw a real opportunity for our club to step in there, give them some football, and also obviously have a pathway then into our Sunday team. Yeah. So at the minute we're running a Sunday team in the first division and a youth team as well.
And ground development facilities, if you look at pretty much all the clubs, what's in place now compared with 50 years ago, huge changes. And again, in the case of Cranford Park, there has been a fair bit of investment.
There has, Chris. And we were so lucky that in 1976, 77, and obviously before that, that people like Tom Logue and others had the foresight to think about developing a pitch down there. Anyone that goes down there, it's an actual kind of amphitheatre. It's a really unique place right on the banks of Mulroy Bay. And we, in the last number of years especially, have really looked to see how we could develop that with the likes of ball stops, fences. We've got more facilities down at the pitch itself as well. Because we want to make sure that what we do and where we leave the club is in a better state as well. But I think it all comes back to the people that were involved right at the start. Because when you go down and you have a look, and even if you think about the machinery that was available at that time, this was not an easy task. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't that much money. There's a big piece in the paper, one of the things we've done up. It talks about a £20,000 investment to get the pitch even off the ground, which was huge money at that time and took a lot of real commitment and belief from people that this was going to be a success. So we're very happy to continue that, to keep developing. We've been very, very lucky that the local councillors have supported us, Sports Capital, a number of grants like that, the DFA grant from the Donegal County Council, and all that really has really helped us keep the club in the state that it's in.
Now, Kevin, the club colours, yellow and blue, pretty distinctive colours. At the start, no doubt people were sitting down and they had to decide on the colours. So do we know how it all came about?
Well, I think the main reason was that there wasn't too many other teams having yellow and blue, so you didn't have to be changing every week, but I think that's how it really came about. But the very first team had yellow and blue, and it stuck for a few years. And then we had the blue, with the natural blue colour then just... So we have a new kit coming out this year now, which mixes the two ends.
Yeah, and it helps with all that identity. And speaking of identity, I know on Facebook there's been a sort of a Netflix-like trailer documentary pieces online. Some people may have seen it promoting this weekend, and it's certainly compelling stuff.
Thanks, Chris. Well, we have a Milford man, Paul Nash, to thank for his help and support with that and the idea. Again, it's just really to generate some interest and see if we can help publicise the evening. We're trying to do a lot of things. It's gone very well, and thanks for the feedback. We're also obviously trying to work on the papers. And thank you very much again, Chris, for the opportunity to come here in Highland Radio, because we really want this to be, all about the 50 years, not just about people that are involved in the club today or in the last 5 years, but right going back, stretching back. And some people that maybe were involved have disconnected a bit for the club, or people played 30, 40 years ago. We really want, everyone to come and enjoy the evening. This is not going to be about any specific few years in the club. It really is about the longevity and the 50 years. Yeah. So we're really looking forward to it.
That's Chris Ashmore speaking to Philip Buchanan and Kevin Logue, members of Cranford FC, ahead of their 50th celebration. And we wish everyone involved there the very best of luck and enjoy the celebrations. Okay, time for a commercial break. There's more on The Score after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, your home for GAA gear.
And you welcome back. Well, it is a busy weekend of championship action right across the northwest. We'll go to Tyrone first of all, because the first round in the senior championship starts this evening in Dungannon, with Edendark taking on Arbo. Tyrone are still one of a very few counties that go with straight knockouts. So whoever loses tonight is gone. Their championship is over with the winner progressing to round two. There is more games to come on Friday with Carrickmore up against Dermore at Healy Park in Oma. The Derry Championship started last weekend and there is games to come this weekend as well. In round one qualifiers this evening, Kilray are up against Fochan Vale. Whoever loses there, their championship's gone. Second bite of the cherry for both sides. In the first round, Ballinderry are taking on Ballinascreen tomorrow night, Friday. Moving to Donegal, lots of championship action to come at the various levels, of course, in the county this coming weekend. But there's lots to play for as well in the senior football championship. There is eight round four games and there's something to play for basically in every match. And on Sunday Sport, we're going to have coverage from five of those eight matches. Myself and Brendan Kilcoyne will be at Termon against Dunloe. We will have Pádraig Holfrey and Brendan Devaney at St. Michael's against St. Unans. Maureen O'Donnell's off to Balbofay to watch McCool's against Glenswilly. Martin Doherty will keep us abreast of what's happening in Kilcar, who are hosting Niamh Connell. And Jeremy Doherty will be attending Downings against Glenfinn. The other three games are Killybegs against Gweedore, Niamh Columba against Ardrah, and Éireux Ballyshannon are playing for Masters, basically as they head into the last round of games in the group section. Currently filling the top four spots and in quarter-final positions are Dunloe and Glenswilly, both on 6 points, along with Kilcar also on 6 points, and then Niamh Connell on score difference, fourth at the moment on 5 points. The next four sides currently holding the advantage, the home advantage in the preliminary round. That's St. Unans on 5, Gweedore on 5, Four Masters on 4, and St. Michael's 8 on 2. Well, the other four positions in the preliminary round playing away from home at the moment would be Glenfinn, Ardrah, McCool's and Termon, all in that order and all on 2 points. And the four sides who are in the relegation places, the bottom four at the moment, Downings with a point, and then Killybegs, Niamh Columba and Éireux Ballyshannon in that order, currently with no ones, and they're placed by score difference as things stand. So with one game to go, certainly lots to play for in the senior championship. Stay tuned to Highland this coming Sunday. We will, of course, have all the action for you. And there is, of course, our GA programme, our GA podcast, available now to listen back to on our website, Brendan Devaney's DL Debate. It was aired last Monday. Go to the playback section and you'll be able to listen back there, where there will, of course, be coverage of the local championship. There's ladies' action as well in the championship taking place this coming weekend at senior level. Fanna Gaels are playing St. Unans. Niamh Warra Lower Rossers against Dunloe and Niamh Connell against Éireux Ballyshannon. Matches to come as well at intermediate and junior. And all the Gaelic Games action is starting on Friday night with the Donegal Minor Division 1 Championship Final. It's St. Unans against Four Masters. Ardrah is the venue for that game on Friday evening. Throw-in time is at 8 o'clock. So then, we go to motorsport. The annual Danny Gormley Memorial Hill Climb will take place at Knockalla this coming Saturday and Sunday. It's a 2-day event and it's serving as rounds of the Donegal Club Championship. The competitors are set to take on a course of 1.3 kilometres up the hill in Knockalla. The action's due to start at about 10 on Saturday, and there's lots happening as well for spectators. Earlier this week, I was joined in studio by Clark of the Course, Brendan Gibbons, to preview what promises to be another exciting weekend at Knockalla.
Back to that time of year again. We're up and running, and the event's on there the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 5th and 6th. Great entry in so far there. There's 75 plus entries in there at the minute, which will be roughly 60 each day whenever you take in Saturday and Sunday. There's a great interest in the club this year from the club championship, and a lot of locals, club men, competing. Civic men, escort men, all over the field, from the back of the field to the front of the field, and it's great to see such an interest from the locals. We're also a counting round of the MAJRS Championship this year for the junior competitors, and there's 11 of them entered so far there, which is encouraging. They're actually from all over the country, and the Sunday is a counting round of the championship for them guys, so it'll be interesting whenever they come up.
We have the competitors that are coming on, but these guys will do Saturday and Sunday. Some will do Saturday, some will do Sunday, and then there's other crews that, then there's other boys that are sharing cars, isn't that right?
Yeah, there's not as many dual drivers this year. There's probably only five or six, but it's that's a bit of crack for them guys as well. Like they share the car. One guy goes up and does his run, comes back down and gives it to the second guy. And I suppose his mission is to try and beat the first guy every time.
Yeah. And does many of them do the 2 days?
There's a good few of them doing the 2 days this year. There's probably 50 plus there doing the 2 days. Mm. There's certain people, I suppose, maybe can't make the Saturday or make the Sunday, and they do 1 day. But it's there's a lot of people actually does the Saturday and then goes back for the Sunday again. So they enjoy it, you know.
And in relation to Hill Climb Cares, obviously you're going to have your rally men there, but there is specific Hill Climb Cares that will be competing as well, isn't
there? There is. There's a few single-seaters there, as always, and there's some specific Hill Climb Cares. There's a couple of Subarus and stuff there that's designed especially for Hill Climbs, you know, 600 horsepower plus things there. They're absolutely class to watch up the hill, in fairness. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about the course. Is it the same as how it's been over the last number of years? Obviously, Knockall at this stage is world famous. We know what it's like going up the hill. So is there any sort of change, or is it just the same tough course for these guys as they face every year?
Yeah, Knockall is Knockall, and it doesn't change much from 1 year to the next. It's the same hill, it's the same bit of tarmac, and everybody seems to come back and enjoy it as much as they did the previous year. So that's what they're up against at the weekend.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of local men that's going to compete. Any names off the top of your head there, Brian?
There's a lot of local men. Just if you look down through the list, there's actually a lot of Civic men there. You have Gavin Russell, Damien Collin, Gavin McLaughlin, JP Logue, you know, a lot of them boys, Eamon Russell. It's encouraging, even some of the younger boys there, like Charlie Brown and Dara Boner. And then if you move on to the escorts, you have like Raymond Scott, Mac Walsh, you know, Danny O'Donnell, and Cahir Hughes is sharing a car there. Cahir's Danny's navigator, and he's actually sharing the car with Danny for the weekend, so that'll be interesting. And if you go down, then you have locals like Gary Lockard, Barry McLaughlin there, and the ever entertaining Mark Wan. Like she's iconic, I think, on the hill at this stage. So she is. So there's actually other cars there too. Like there's Barry Morris and the Darien, who will be hard to beat, I would say, at the weekend. And John O'Donnell and Ivan Stewart have an entry in, and two M3s, which will be good to listen to if nothing else going up the hill.
Yeah, listen to a good variety of machinery then. I'm just going back to the J1000s, the MI JRS competitors. This has become very popular over the last number of years, and it's a sort of a springboard or a launch pad for young boys and girls to get involved in motorsport. And it's a real challenge for these young ones too, having to go up the hill as they overlook Ballymastocker Bay, isn't it?
It has. It's a great opportunity for them to get driving on tarmac. Obviously, they can't rally at that age, but they can do the hill climb there. And
Because mainly gravel they do, isn't it?
That's right. It's mainly gravel. Yeah. It's kind of an opportunity for them to get on tarmac. They have to have a navigator on with them, obviously, and it's normally either a parent or guardian, but maybe it can be someone else as well. Like, you know, but it's a bit of crack, and there's great competition there between them over the weekend.
So, how many runs do people get, or how many runs are you entitled there? Does it all depend on how the day pans out, or?
It mainly depends on how the day pans out, but you're normally looking at a practice run in the morning that'll start around 10 o'clock, and the main first run will probably start around 20 past half 10, and you'll be looking at 6 or 7 runs over the day depending on how things go.
Yeah, and obviously there'll be a lot of spectators there. They like to come and enjoy themselves and sit in the hill, fingers crossed we get a bit of good weather for them as well, Brian. But from a spectator point of view, what's on offer for them?
There will, hopefully the weather plays ball this year, and we've added a few things there for spectators this year. We have we have a marquee at the bottom of the hill if the weather doesn't play ball. We're also trying to live stream two different locations on the hill back down to the start line, and we'll have big screens down there so people can actually stay in the marquee and watch it if it is wet. There'll be catering vans there. There's a shuttle bus there. It'll be running every 5 minutes up and down the hill in between runs to give people access. And there's a large car park at the bottom of the hill where there's plenty of parking for everyone.
Yeah, so there's lots on offer there. And obviously the prize given will be taking place directly afterwards as well down the bottom of the hill, I take it, Sunday.
There's a prize given.
Or is a prize given both days?
Prize given both days, yeah. There's a prize given on the Saturday evening and the Sunday evening. And the Danny Gormley Memorial Award will be presented on the Sunday evening to the winner of the weekend, you know.
Yeah.
Danny's partner, Elizabeth Devine, will be there to present that.
Oh, Danny, of course, a man that was in the trenches when it came to the
Knockall. He was a big part of the motor club, yeah.
Yeah, he was. And listen, obviously, the motor club's always looking for help. It's a big event, but marshals are required, and whatever help is available, if they give you a shout, what's the direction to go there? What's the format, Brian?
Marshals are required, yeah. They're a big part of the sport, and thankfully we're we're blessed with them in Donegal, and anybody interested in coming to help out at the weekend can contact Stephen Tinney, his chief marshal there. His contact details are on the social media pages of the Motor Club, and all help would be appreciated. It's also a great opportunity for some of the competitors to get points for the upcoming harvest rally. That's coming on there in a few weeks.
Yeah, that was another point I was going to make. These are all these events in Donegal are all tailored for points. So
they exactly.
They go towards your entry, be it for the harvest or be it next year when it comes maybe for other events.
Exactly, yeah. Different people pick up points at different events throughout the year, and it's a big help whenever they come to get entries for Donegal and the harvest and events that can be hard to get entries on.
Yeah. Kelly Motorsport have jumped on board this year. Seamus Kelly likes his rallying. He takes it all around the world, so he does. He was in Barbados this year, wasn't he? But it's more closer to home for them now, and it's great that they've got involved in this as well.
Yeah, that's right. Kelly Motorsport come on board to help out, and they're a huge help so far there. We need to thank Roger McMahon, who is a big part of Kelly Motorsport as well as Seamus Kelly. They're a big help behind the scenes and have helped out a lot this past few weeks to make this happen. And thanks to them, a lot of what's happened here at the weekend is thanks to them. They have a wide variety of cars, and I think Seamus is coming and I kind of a surprise me, but the weekend.
That's what I was going to ask. Which cars? Which cars? Seamus,
well, I think it's still under wraps, but he's coming on something that he hasn't been out on before, and I think it'll definitely turn heads. So
well, then, if you want to find that out, most definitely get yourself down to the Knockalla Hill Climb, which is taking place this Saturday and Sunday. Listen, Brian, thanks for calling in, and of course, the best luck to you and your team this weekend.
Thanks a lot, Oisin. Thanks.
That's Brian Gibbons, Clark, off the course of the Donegal Hill Climb, the Donegal Motor Club, Danny Gormley Hill Climb at Knockalla this coming weekend. There is, of course, a full programme of rugby action on Saturday as well for the North West sides. We'll be focusing in on one of the games on Saturday Sport. It's Ulster Championship 2. It's one of those derby games. Letterkenny are taking on City of Derry. Alec McDonough will have updates from that game for us on Saturday afternoon. And that's it from a very busy score programme tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap shortly on highlandradio.com. So for me, Oisin Kelly, what's left of it, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.